Hello and all, welcome to The Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show brought to you by The Racing Post. We are both in a very good mood today. Steve Palmer found the winner of the Players' Championship last week, including a big price place selection. Two tournaments to look ahead to this week in the shape of the Singapore Classic on the DP World Tour and the Valspar Championship on the PGA Tour. Steve, it happened. We found Mr. Scheffler. Well, it was not exactly. We didn't pick him out of the pack, did we? But what a fantastic week! I'm still smiling from ear to ear. It was just one of those weeks where things went our way.
I think you got every right to still be smiling, aren't you? I've only just stopped chuckling, Jack, about the Wyndham Clark putt, to be honest, which looked for all the tea in China to be going in. Yeah, there must have been some sort of rogue mole or frog leaping about in that hole to head it out for us. So if the mole or frog is watching, then I thank you from the bottom of my heart, because yeah, I thought that was going in. Everyone thought that was going in. When it horseshoed out, it was glorious. But I think we deserved a bit of luck, Jack. I think we deserved
it. Absolutely, Steve.
Yeah. Let's be frank about this. Yeah, that Scheffler neck injury was not in the script. Yeah, when that developed on Friday, I was starting to wonder why the Lord hates me so much. I was having a moment of reflection. What have I done to deserve this? Because if it's not that long ago that you remember the Patrick Cantlay debacle. Five shots clear at the halfway stage at Riviera. Then he got ill on the Friday night. He since revealed in media conferences that the flu developed on the Friday night. So that explains his weekend performance. So I was thinking, blimmin' heck, now they got this sudden Scheffler neck injury. And I was thinking, I thought the Lord despised me. But fortunately, the result of that was that we got a much more exciting golf tournament, wasn't it? Because, had Scheffler been fully fit for the duration, probably would have won by 50 shots. But it's much more fun when you win by just one, isn't it?
it was almost nice of Scheffler. It was kind of enforced his own handicap system where he injured himself. So talk me through, Steve. So Scheffler's getting the physio. He's kind of sat in that sort of camping chair, isn't he? And I think he later revealed that he was very close to withdrawing from the tournament because the pain was kind of so bad and it really restricted his movement. We were chatting. So this was the Friday, wasn't it? We were chatting. And I think you'd had a couple of beers and you were saying, it's fine, rest easy. He'll wake up the following morning and it's all good. Were you telling a few porkies? Were you not quite as calm as you were acting over WhatsApp messages?
I was trying to stay calm, but virtually all of round two, he was handicapped, and then virtually all of round three. So, I mean, he was in discomfort for 36 holes. If he shortened his backswing. He had to take longer clubs. He lost about 20 yards of driving distance. The stats will show you this. He couldn't maneuver his ball like he usually did because it hurt too much. He said lining up putts was painful. He said chipping was painful. But thankfully, he woke up on Sunday morning and was feeling a lot better. He was almost back to normal on Sunday. Final round 64 was the result. Bogey free. Just pure class. So, yeah, as you say, he had his own handicap system. Despite 36 holes injured, he found 80% of fairways, Jack.
I'm trying to think, Steve, of a better driving performance, particularly under, pressure with massive tournaments on the line.
Yeah.
I can't think of one. I really can't think of one.
It's an incredible effort, this, because he said he was slapping it around the golf course because of the injury. His approach play, slapping it around, was amazing. He putted solidly again. It's not like the putter got him out of trouble because he couldn't swing. He was the 37th best putter. It was one of those solid weeks that we say he needs to win. His course management, just exceptional. Him and Ted Scott, amazing partnership, aren't they? They work so well together. Yeah, they had a lot of discussions on Friday and Saturday because obviously their yardages are out. They had so much to factor in. But his temperament is unrivaled in the modern game. Isn't it? absolutely incredible temperament, Scottie Scheffler. He's a 27-year-old. He's at the peak of his powers. He's emphatic Masters favourite, Jack.
I just can't stop looking at the statistics surrounding Scottie Scheffler at the moment. In terms of best strokes gained from tee to green, this started tracking in 2004. Number one on the list, obviously, Tiger Woods, 2006 season, gained nearly three shots on the field. 2024 Scotty, 2.83. 2023 Scotty, 2.74. And then it's 2007 Tiger Woods, 2.37. Look, the comparisons will be made now. And between Scotty and Tiger, obviously, there is a huge gap between the two at the moment. But since Tiger, we must be witnessing one of the best to do it since that point.
Absolutely. Yeah, his ball striking figures over the last 2 or 3 years definitely equate to Tiger-esque figures. We've never seen ball striking like it. You can make all these comparisons in standard of play. There's just one thing he needs to improve on, which is winning majors, isn't it? Sure. He's only got one major win, but you expect the major wins to surge now. He's not been around for that long, really. You know, he hasn't been on the scene for that long. So, yeah, I would expect loads of major victories to come over the next few years. I mean, you know, Scottie Scheffler for the Masters is looking so good, isn't it? I mean, it's very difficult to see him failing to contend in the Masters.
What price is he going
to
go off, do you think?
Well, he's 5-1 now, isn't he? I mean, I find it a very exciting opportunity putting him in long-term multi-sport anti-post Ackers now. Because there's lots going on in this sporting year, isn't there? And I've been putting Scheffler in with other things like England to win the European Championship. Okay. I can't.
That's going to let you down, Steve. That's going to end in heartbreak. Come on.
Anyone can manage that side. I know Gareth Southgate's got his detractors, isn't he? Gets a bit defensive, gets a bit cautious, but surely with the talent we've got at our disposal, sorry, we're straight into other sports here. You know, England should be emphatic favourites for that. We've got so much attacking quality. And then Ronnie O'Sullivan for the World Championship snooker. You can have the O'Sullivan Scheffler England treble and it's 90-1.
What about Luke Littler?
Yeah. I just wanted the payout by summer. I thought I'll have a nice summer. But you can throw Luke Littler in to win the World Championship darts if you can wait till January for your payout. But yeah, so many opportunities. I just hope Scheffler doesn't play the Houston Open. I think Scheffler is looking so good for the Masters, but there's nothing to be gained from playing the Houston Open. That's next week. That's next week, Jay. His original schedule has Houston Open next week. But I would just love him to just rest up and prepare for Augusta now. I don't see the point, but he's a Texas native. He's one of the nicest blokes in the world. So he's odds on to honour that commitment to his Texas fans, I think. I expect him to play next week, but I hope he doesn't.
We talk about, you know, him winning more majors. What would you say the par is in terms of career majors for Scottie now? Five, six?
Blimey. Was he 27 years of age? Fit as a butcher's dog. I mean, that neck injury's gone now. Don't worry about that for the Masters. I think he can win eight. I think he can win eight.
Eight?
I think he can win eight majors. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think he could establish himself as the best player of his generation in the years to come here. Because it's just purely on temperament. I mean, if you came down from Mars and you looked at the swings and you knew a little bit about, you'd learned a bit about golf in Mars and you see, I've got myself in the mud there. But his swing is not pretty, is it? Yeah, no. He does a bit of tap dancing on the tee and the legs are all over the place, but it's just so effective. We're in the results business here, Jack, and the results of his swing are just so consistent and, and his temperament is just unbelievably good. I mean, I don't know what you were doing on Sunday night, but yeah, we're up and down like the proverbial yo-yo, aren't we? Getting really invested in everything. He just has a little slap with Ted Scott after win, and then his media conference afterwards, it's like nothing had happened.
Well, I must admit, Steve, like, I think did he hole out on the fourth hole? He parred the first three, hadn't he? And I must admit, at that point, I thought it's game over. And Schauffele and Clark, fair play to them, because they battled pretty well on that Sunday. And I think it shows the levels. Like, it felt like they were all out. It felt like they were at their absolute peak of their powers. They were making these sort of clutch par putts and birdie putts. And his Scheffler was sort of, you know, strutting round, stiff neck. Yeah. Oh, there's a few more gears to go through. Just a quick word on Schauffele. I mean, he's just a serial runner up now, isn't he? On the PGA Tour, this guy just can't find a way to win.
Well, when he first came onto the tour, he was a ruthless closer. You know, he won the Tour Championship when he was a relative unknown. He won the WGC HSBC Champions just after that. He looked granite in contention. I used to love backing Schauffele in the thick of things, but then he's been really disappointing in under pressure in big events since. He never looked comfortable on Sunday. I mean, there are excuses for him because he's working on some swing changes at the moment. Recently started work with a new coach, Chris Como, but under the gun on Sunday, he was one over par for the final five holes. It was a pretty meek finish. So Schauffele, that would have been the biggest win of his career. He's been pretty poor in contention lately, for sure.
We mentioned at the start of the show that lip out from Wyndham Clark on 18. Oh. I mean, I was kind of looking forward to an early night, and we did get one in the end. But as soon as that ball left the putter face, I thought perfect pace, yeah. perfect line. You know, we'll see you in the playoff, Wyndham. Yeah. I mean, I often get frustrated, particularly the DP World Tour Twitter account is the worst of this. They always say, how did that not go in? And it's sort of this four iron. It's been rattled at the pin at about sort of the speed of sound. It's like, well, it's quite obvious how it's not gone in. You know, it's nearly snapped the pin in half. But this one was, you know, it was ruthless. And we yeah. talk, you know, you often think of the bad beats in betting, don't you? I mean, this was the opposite. We did sort of, something was looking down on us there.
Well, you're right. A lot of commentators go for the how did that not go in line when it's just so pointless, isn't it? Because I always say, well, you didn't hit it close enough to the hole. You know, it was the wrong pace. Yeah, there's loads of reasons why I don't get in. But for that one, I mean, even that one, if you push it all the way, he hit it a bit too hard, didn't he? he hit it a fraction too hard. That's why it didn't go in. If it was, you know, there's nothing.
But have you seen the still images of the, I mean, the ball's sort of, you can barely see the ball. It's gone that far into the hole and then it's found a way yeah. to pop back out.
That's why I think there must have been a mole in there who backed Scottie Scheffler. But yeah, Wyndham Clark, yeah, he was almost crying afterwards, wouldn't he, to be, you know, he was crestfallen. I mean, it's very interesting. He went into last week's tournament, world number five, and he's gone off 40-1. It's, yeah, the world number five going off at 40-1. I think bookmakers will start giving him much more respect now. You know, back-to-back runner-up finishes at Bay Hill and Sawgrass. He'd never played well on those tracks before, Jack. So he's increasingly impressive, this lad. It's been a rapid rise from serial bottler. Don't like using that word too often, but he used to be terribly in contention. And he really worked on the mental side of his game. And he's transformed himself now. He's a fully fledged member of the elite. He's a major champion, of course. I think he's got more majors in him. But yeah, it's going to be difficult to win majors now and then in what could be the Scheffler era. I mean, yeah, I don't want to get too carried away, but we could be entering the Scheffler era because he looks like the complete package. He looks like you know, an irresistible force. But Clark, to his credit, 2 under par for the final three holes. Yeah. It was a great late charge, wasn't it? In comparison to Scheffler, who wobbled. Yeah, I got a lot of time for Wyndham Clark, and I got a lot of time for Siwoo Kim. I mean, he carded it.
Siwoo Kim.
Well, we had two
that
men
cut. Brilliant, wasn't it?
Not often Sundays go that well, is it? You have both our men shot 64. Siwoo Kim yeah. shot 64. Scheffler shot 64. You know, he finished sixth. He loves Sawgrass, so yeah, we'll probably back him again next year.
it was funny. I was tracking Siwoo's round on the Bet365 sort of shot tracker, and I'd seen that he'd eagled 16. And then I was obviously so caught up in the brilliance of the golf, I'd forgotten that he'd eagled 16, and Sky Sports sort of showed it about 7 minutes later. And then so I got to celebrate that eagle twice because I thought
you thought he'd eagled 17.
Yeah.
No. It's yeah, exactly. You've got to be careful with that. I mean, I try and put devices down and just immerse myself in the action. I know a lot of people are device heavy these days, but yeah, he's much more enjoyable just to watch the action.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant. Let's just quickly finish with this stat before we move on to this week's tournament. Scottie Scheffler's scores so far in 2024. He shot 64 three times, 65 once, 66 seven times, 67 three times, 68 four times, 69 three times, 75 times, 71 once. Steve, how many times has Scottie Scheffler gone 72 or higher in 2024?
Zero
times. 67.4 yeah. scoring average, over a stroke better than second best. I mean, just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal golf.
Top 20 in every event he's played in. Top 10 in all but one. Yeah, yeah. Just absolute filth he's serving up now, isn't it? And, yeah, exciting times for the golf punter. Yeah,
absolutely.
If he is the new Tiger Woods, as I say, it's a long way to go to become the new Tiger Woods because he's only got one major. But if he is, it's great for golf punters because golf punting has been much more difficult since Tiger Woods lost his edge.
Absolutely. Well, from one great tournament to another, it's the Singapore Classic at Laguna National. Is that the?
I'll sing some more for you. If you want. Yeah, Laguna National. Well, there's a few courses there. It's the classic course at Laguna National.
Okay, looking forward to it, Steve. I think this event's only been played once before, hasn't it? So a relatively new one for punters. Talk us through the track.
Yeah, the classic course at Laguna National, Singapore, 7,420 yards, par 72, four par fives. We've only got two pieces of course form to look at, the 2015 World Classic on the Asian Tour and the inaugural Singapore Classic last year. Good all-round test, 150 bunkers, heavily tiered greens, but Oki Strydom got to 19 under par last year to win. It's soft, it's receptive, it's scorable. Got a field of 1-3-2 going to post. Hot, humid, oppressive, only gentle breezes throughout. So some of the sweatier guys in the field may require a change of pants at the turn each day.
Hopefully we won't be needing a change of pants with our selection, Steve. Let's go through the top of the market. A few big players flown into this one. Shane Lowry, your favourite, ran about 9-1 at time of recording. Matthew Pavon, 14-1. Rasmus Højgaard, same price, alongside Paul Casey. Tom McKibben, who we've seemingly backed every week for the last 4 years, is 20-1. Jordan Smith, 25s. Tristan Lawrence, 25s. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, how many selections for the Singapore Classic?
Five.
Five picks. Who's the number one?
I found that intro very amusing. The number one is Tom McKibben, 20-1.
I didn't even know.
No, I know you said the other night that you've been having dreams about him. Having your nightmares about Tom McKibben. You've been seeing him in your sleep because we've been backing him so much this season. But we must keep the faith, Jack. We must keep the faith. Tom McKibben will be in your dreams again on Sunday night because he would have won the Singapore Classic and you'll be having a happy dream about it. He's been so consistent this season. Form figures of 25, 14, 16, 4, 12, 9. Swinging superbly, driving like a king, looking like one of the best young players in the world. I've already said I think he's a certainty to get a PGA Tour card through the Race to Dubai rankings this season. Winning in Singapore will obviously help that cause. This course sets up great for him, Jack. The four par fives are at his mercy. He had a hugely encouraging debut there last year. His confidence level was nowhere near as it is now coming into this tournament 12 months ago. His 2023 form figures before the Singapore Classic were miscut 36. He was 308th in the world rankings, hugely inexperienced, but he finished 12th at Laguna National. Fell in love with the course, open with a 64. Now he returns as a DP World Tour champion. He won the European Open last summer. He's 177 places better in the world rankings. He's the most likely title contender for me. He'll be fully switched on for 72 holes, Jack, and I don't think you can say that with confidence about all of the market principles.
Tom McKibben, we're going again. I like the sound of it, Steve. Number one selection for the Singapore Classic. Who's up next?
Sebastian Soderberg, 35-1, who spends much of his year living in Thailand. Black Mountain Black Mountain is his practice base. So very comfortable competing in Asia. He's played a lot of good golf over the last 8 months. Soderberg finished 10th in the Barracuda Championship on the PGA Tour last summer, 5th in the Dunhill Links in October, 6th in the Nedbank Challenge in November, 3rd in the Mauritius Open in December. Form figures this year of 23, 41, 9, 6, 55. He looked jaded in Qatar last time out. That was his 5th consecutive week of competition. He's freshened up with a month off. I'm expecting him to return in spunky fashion in Singapore, Jack. He missed the cut by a shot in this tournament last year, but he finished last in his event prior to that, the Dubai Desert Classic. He missed the cut by 8 shots. He was in a spell of 4 missed cuts in a row around this tournament last year. This time, confident. Second DP World Tour title, well within his compass.
Sebastian, I'm just curious. How do you remember all of this information and spit it out in such sort of quick fashion? I mean, there was so much information in that sort of monologue then.
I work very hard, Jack. I work very hard.
How do you present your data? Is it handwritten? Is it?
I just have my notes here and I go into Prime Minister's Question Time. I'm probably a bit too old to become a Prime Minister now, but I can imagine going into Prime Minister's Question Time. You have some notes down, they go, you know what I mean?
I would back you as Prime Minister. I think it would be a greater country for it.
Well, Clement Freud, do you remember him? He was a politician. No. He's Sir Clement Freud. He told me to go into politics.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He did. He said he was encouraging me to do it just before he passed away. He said I could appeal to the rich and the poor or something. I can't remember what he was getting at, but he said I'd have mass appeal. Wow. But I mean,
too far gone or still a dream?
Well, I mean, when you look at the American presidential race, you sort of think you've still got chances when you're about 150, haven't you? I mean, I'm only, how old am I? 45, nearly 46. So, yeah, I suppose you've still got longevity in the politics game until you're dead, basically.
Oh, we'll get the double up this week and then you can do what you want. Go for Prime Minister.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Two down, three to go. Who's next?
Richard Mansell, 30 to 1, who, like McKibben, has started this year swinging with supreme confidence. Mansell bases himself in Dubai now. So he got his game in great order in the early year Dubai sunshine. Not so easy when he used to be based in the Midlands. So you start the year in the Midlands and it's pissing down with rain every day. It's hard to get grooved in, but Mansell straight, pardon the pun, Mansell out of the...
Good, good.
Yeah, I didn't even need to say it, did I? he started the year like a Ferrari. Form figures this year are 14, 25, 9, 9. He also played well in Austria just before Christmas. Super consistent ball striker. Should make his DP World Tour breakthrough soon. Singapore looks like a great opportunity. He finished sixth in this event last year. I see no reason why he shouldn't be a leading contender again. Not sure Nigel Mansell ever drove for Ferrari, did he? I might have blundered there.
I suspect producer Callum, he's a big F1 fan.
Is he?
I did like F1 for a little while, sort of when Sebastian Vettel was good, and I just sort of switched off to it. Well, I went the other way. Everyone seemed to not like F1 and then watched that Drive to Survive. Now they're all super fans, and that came out and I went the other way.
No, I was a super fan when Nigel Mansell and Nelson Piquet and Alain Prost were doing it. I think Nigel Mansell was in a Williams when he worked for William
Ferrari
Hill.
Sounds better when you than Williams though, doesn't it?
I'm pretty sure he was a Williams man, but let us know in the comments section. Schumacher was the Ferrari man, wasn't it? But we digress. We're cramming a lot of different sports into this one.
We are. It? Yeah, we're doing well. Get your bingo card out. I wonder what
you see the Cabani at the weekend. Let's branch out.
Three down, two to go. Mansell the last. Who's next?
Alejandro Del Rey, 40 to 1 now, who finished third in this event last year. The course sets up really well for powerhouses like him. Soft, receptive, spongy paspalum grass, four par fives to devour. He was excellent in South Africa just before Christmas. He's played some decent golf this year. He was on a wholly unsuitable track in Kenya last time out. I'm expecting much better things from Alejandro Del Rey in Singapore. He won on the Alps Tour in 2020. He won on the Challenge Tour in 2022. I think that career progression can continue with a DP World Tour breakthrough soon. This seems a golden opportunity.
Great stuff. I'm going to quickly go back to F1, Steve, and I'm going to give you a quick quiz because producer Callum has messaged me.
Oh my gosh!
The teams. Do you call them teams? F1 teams that Mansell drove for. There were four different ones. Williams was one of them. Who were the other three?
Oh, blimmin' heck. Benetton. Is that even a team? Brabham. Brabham, is that a team? You're really testing me here now, aren't you?
Ferrari was another.
Oh, it was Ferrari. Oh, well, there you go. Ferrari. We're all right then. We're all right. I don't know whether I can name any more teams.
What one's kind of related with Norwich?
Rule Fox.
Didn't drive for Rule Fox. Lotus and McLaren.
Oh, McLaren. Sure. I've besmirched McLaren there. Now they're big players, aren't they? Okay, well, that's good knowledge. I'm sure that's really going to help people back the winner of the Singapore Classic. Thank you, Callum.
On to the next, Steve, for the Singapore Classic.
The final selection is 100 to 1. It's David Rovetto.
Rovetto.
I will sing our Rovetto song if he wins on Sunday. We were very close to buying a lifetime supply of Cornettos, if you remember rightly. He nearly won the STC Championship. He finished third in that. Didn't do a lot wrong. He won the Dimension Data Pro-Am on the Challenge Tour a month ago. This is a sweet swinging Frenchman, growing in self-belief. I can easily forgive the miscut in the Johnson Workwear last time out. Rovetto's a long driver and he's an attacking player. Glendower, far from ideal for him. He was only a couple of shots shy from making the cut there, despite carding a 9 at the 17th hole in round one. Laguna National's Classic course, much more his cup of tea. Rovetto played in last year's Singapore Classic when he was ranked 586th in the world, and he finished 23rd. He carded 4 under par rounds. This time he'll start the event 292 places better in the world rankings. It could be licky-licky fun time for us on Sunday, Jack, as the ice creams come into play. I'll sing the song. I've added a chorus to that song now.
Have you?
We'll do that when he wins on Sunday.
Can we get it even if he places? Or if yes. Did he have to win?
If he places and we have the winner. Yeah, it's got to be done with enthusiasm, isn't it?
Absolutely. I must say, when you said 100-1, I was expecting you to name someone that I'd never heard of. Rovetto. I thought he'd be a bit shorter than that.
Well, there you go. There you go. No. He's settled nicely on the DP World Tour now, hasn't he? And I think this track is right up his street.
There we go. How many picks have we had for this, Steve?
That's our five done. Yeah. And if you'd like to discuss the two sort of market leaders, I'm happy to do so.
I would love to discuss the two market leaders. Shane Lowry, I mean, this is a man who he's 9-1 favourite at time of recording. He's been in good form. What's putting you off off Shane?
He's been in jolly good form, but he's played for three consecutive weeks in PGA Tour events, contending, as you say, for a couple of them. I think he must be jaded from his recent schedule. I think he must only be here, I would suggest, I'm guessing, because he's got a healthy appearance check. The Porsche are the new sponsors. This is the Porsche Singapore Classic. So I think that the Porsche boys have wanted a good field and they've attracted Shane over. But I think motivation must be an issue. Yeah, he's playing in a low-grade DP World Tour event. Yeah, what's the motivation for Shane Lowry? And he must be short of mental energy after trekking from Florida.
Is there a point where you've just got enough quality to almost mitigate the fact that, you know, motivation isn't high?
Yeah, but it's a hot, humid, oppressive week. We mentioned that the sweatier players might not get on with it. I mean, yeah, with all due respect to Shane, he might come under the category of one of the sweatier players. Paul Casey is much fresher than Lowry. Obviously, this is the first time he's played on the DP World Tour since he signed for Liv. Liv in the summer of 2022. So it's a big moment that he's been welcomed back onto the DP World Tour here. But he's 46 now. Yeah, he's past his prime, is Casey. I just couldn't generate enough enthusiasm for the short prices. 14-1 Casey, 9-1 Lowry, not for me.
It's nearly the same age as you, Steve, isn't it? You've just described him as past his prime. Do you not feel in your prime?
No.
There are a couple of others in there that I thought you might have a poke at. Pavon and Højgaard, no love there either.
Pavon's form has tailed off after a spectacular start to the year. Rasmus has not played this course before. Yeah, it's just a minor thing. I mean, I expect Rasmus to be in the thick of things for sure, but you can't have them all. You literally can't have them all. So yeah, I prefer my five.
Great stuff. We will recap all of the selections at the end of the show so you can jot them down. Let's head over to the US for the Valspar Championship. Steve, where are we playing? Talk us through it.
It's the Copperhead course, Innisbrook Resort, Palm Harbor, Florida, 7,340 yards, par 71, four par fives, a tough tree-lined layout, hosting for the 23rd time. The event was formerly known as the Tampa Bay Classic, the Chrysler Championship, the Pods Championship, the Transitions Championship, and the Tampa Bay Championship, just in case punters want to go through the form themselves. Straight hitting, churning out greens in regulation, the key to success. 15 of the 22 Valspar winners finished inside the top 15 for greens in regulation. We've got 155 players going to post. I won't bore you with the reasons why. A mixture of sunshine and clouds, cool mornings, pleasant afternoons, gentle breezes throughout.
Sounds delightful. Let's run through the market leaders. Xander Schauffele, your favourite, 15-2. Sam Burns, who's a back-to-back winner here, 12-1. Jordan Spieth, 16s, alongside Justin Thomas, the Open winner. Brian Harman, 20-1. Tony Finau, 25s. Bigger the rest. Steve Palmer, how many picks for this one?
Three.
Okay. Three. Who are we going for first?
Sepp Straka, 55-1, who got his season going with 16th place in the Players' Championship on Sunday. It's taken Straka a while to find top gear in 2024. He ended last year with a runner-up check behind Scotty Scheffler in the Hero World Challenge. Fatherhood then became the priority for Sepp. You know, little baby Leo, who we've mentioned a lot on this podcast, became the centre of attention in the Straka household. Sepp has been inconsistent on the golf course since then, but he was rock solid at Sawgrass last week. Rounds of 68, 70, 70, 70. He was third for greens in regulation. He was bogey free in rounds 1 and 4. He holed nothing. He was the 58th best putter in the field, but he finished 16th in the tournament. If he can just warm that putter a little bit, I think he's the man to beat in the Valspar Championship. Straka loves tackling Florida tracks. You know, put him on a tough Florida track and he gets stuck in. He won the 2022 Honda Classic. He was ninth in the 2022 Players' Championship. He was fifth in the 2023 Honda Classic on his title defense. He was third. Go back to 2018, where it all started for him. He was third in the 2018 Korn Ferry Tour Championship in Florida to get on to the PGA Tour. Yeah, this is a Georgia-based Austrian. He's lived in Georgia for a vast majority of his life. So he just hops over the southern border of Georgia to get to Florida. And he relishes Florida events. Straka finished 46th in his only previous Valspar. That was in 2019, Jack. He was a rookie maiden. He was 365th in the world. So a decent effort. Now he returns as a two-time PGA Tour champion, Ryder Cup winner, world number 26.
I always find, Steve, it's far more pleasing, isn't it, to have a player on your side that is giving themselves chances. Yes, it might be frustrating if they miss said chances, but technically it's so much easier to just tighten up your putting stroke than it is if you're hitting pulls or pushes or whatever.
Absolutely. And you're coming to a ball striking test this week, right? Mm. Ball striking much more important than putting this week. I think you made a very good point there. Putting is a very fickle business. You know, 1 minute one round you can be the best putter in the world. The next day you can't do anything. But your swing.
We had one of those again, didn't we?
There's every chance I might develop a really serious stutter at some
stage. And I've been laughing at it.
Probably every time you chuckle, it probably cements that stutter a little bit. but I've forgotten what I was going to say.
Oh, I bet it was a really good point.
I've remembered. Ball striking is much harder to find. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. When your swing goes wrong, it can take ages to find your swing. But as you say, putting just comes and goes like the wind.
And that is famously known for coming and going. Okay, Sepp Straka, main pick for the Valspar, 55-1. Who's next?
Sungjae Im, 25-1, who was sensational on his first start of the year. He broke the PGA Tour record for total birdies in a tournament. He carded 36 birdies in the century, finished fifth. Real shock to Sungjae and his fans. He went quiet after that. He's made no serious impact since. But the last fortnight was really encouraging for Sungjae fans. He finished 18th in the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and he was 31st at Sawgrass last week. Four solid rounds. He was fourth in the strokes gained off the tee stats at Sawgrass. Driving is so important in the Valspar, so that bodes really well for a good Valspar. Like Straka, Im hold nothing at Sawgrass. He was 61st in the putting stats. So it's a similar argument for Sungjae. Ball striking is the key to success this week. Straka and Im are hitting their ball really well. They just need to improve the putting, which is the most fickle aspect of this crazy sport. So, I'm all over those two. And Sungjae Im loves the Florida swing. He won the Honda Classic, like Straka, won the Honda Classic in 2020. He was third at Bay Hill in 2020. He was third at Bay Hill in 2019. He was sixth at Sawgrass last year. And the most important piece of Florida form for Sungjae Im with regards to this week, he was fourth on his Valspar debut in 2019, 29th in his only subsequent visit. So Straka and Im love this assignment.
Yeah, top player. I don't think enough was made of that record-breaking birdie fest from him. I mean, that's just obscene. Did you say it was 36?
34 birdies 34. In 72 holes and didn't even win the tournament because he had obviously a few difficulties elsewhere. But, absolute birdie machine. I mean, Rory McIlroy, must mention him on this podcast. He's been making birdies for fun. He made loads of birdies last week, but messing up on other holes. So, he needs to tighten up. But, Sungjae Im appears to be back, guys. He appears to be back.
Okay, looking forward to seeing Sungjae this week. One more to go in this one.
Yes, Nick Taylor, 35-1. Nick Taylor, former world number one amateur. Nick Taylor, who is now a four-time PGA Tour champion. He showed incredible courage to win the Canadian Open last year. Probably the best tournament of last year was the Canadian Open. Amazing scenes afterwards. Taylor showed nerves of steel to win that. He showed more guts to win the Phoenix Open in February this year. We can no longer afford to underestimate Nicholas Alexander Taylor. Since his Phoenix win, he's been decent. 39th at Riviera, 12th at Bay Hill, 26th at Sawgrass. Three good rounds last week. A Saturday 76 was the bad one. But it's interesting. Chipping was the thing that stopped him contending last week. He hit his ball all right. He putted superbly. He just messed up around the green. So I'm not going to get my knickers in a twist about that. He won't be getting his knickers in a twist about that. Taylor, massive runner for the Valspar. He was a rookie for his Valspar debut in 2015 and finished 24th. Great effort, showed some early signs of liking this course. Hasn't made a huge impact in the Valspar since, but 10th place last year was the clincher for me because he arrived last year having just missed the cut at Bay Hill and Sawgrass, but he carded four solid rounds in the Valspar. And, you know, in those 12 months since that last Valspar, his self-belief has absolutely skyrocketed, Joe.
Mm, yeah, really, really, really impressive. Okay, that's your three. Again, I'm surprised that you've not sort of dipped into to the top of the market. Should we discuss why that is? I mean, we spoke about Schauffele. He's 15-2, and then you've got Sam Burns, who's won here a couple of times before. What's the reasoning for not going with those guys?
Well, I think Schauffele will have some scars from Sunday. I mean, if you look at Schauffele and Clark in the post-round interviews on Sunday, they're both absolutely broken. Obviously, Clark's gone off to have a little rest, but Schauffele back in action straight away. These swing changes he's working on with Chris Como, they probably need more time to bed in. You know, perhaps he was surprised to be contending last week. Yeah, I was surprised.
I hadn't realised, actually, Steve, how significant they were. I mean, I saw some stills of him at the top of the swing. I mean, it's a dramatic difference time last year. Yeah,
absolutely. It takes months, doesn't it? It takes months for swing chase. So I'm going nowhere near Schauffele. Hopefully they'll bed in by the Open Championship because he's the final leg of our Majors ACCA. So, yeah, hopefully Schauffele can peak for the Open, which is still several months away. His Florida record is nothing to write home about. So he's not for me at short odds. I think both favourites this week can be opposed. Sam Burns is more tempting. Sam Burns, slightly bigger price, just hasn't been finishing tournaments well. He's had these sudden bursts of scorecard destruction. There's been loads of good stuff, but then he's just suddenly gone double bogey, boom, boom, boom. You know, often at the end of rounds. His Valspar record is obviously magnificent. Two wins. He's a serious danger man, but I couldn't pull the trigger on him. And Justin Thomas, I mean, a lot of people will be backing him again this week. But we spoke last week that his confidence levels are not quite where they need to be, are they? I still think there's a vulnerability there. He missed the cut at Riviera. He missed the cut at Sawgrass. They're two of his favourite golf courses in the world. So the Thomas comeback is faltering a little bit. No, I think Sepp Straka's the best bet of the week. You know, when I saw him so deep in the betting, really excited. He has been back, but you know, still 50-1 and bigger. I mean, it's really juicy prices.
Absolutely. Feeling good for this week, Steve? What have you got coming up for the rest of this week? There seems to be an energy about you at the moment, and a good energy at that.
Yeah. No, I do feel good. Yeah, Lady Luck showed some mercy on Sunday, and I appreciate that, and I'm going to build on that. I expect the each way double to oblige. I'm really excited this week. Tom McKibben and Sepp Straka. Yeah, that's a big price each way double. I expect that to win, and then I expect to be getting lots of dog treats. Yeah, I've got a dog. The dog's coming soon.
Are you still doing your sort of nighttime reading about how to train them?
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things you need to get. I mean, thanks for all the people who put stuff in the comments.
Yeah, I saw there were some handy comments. A lot were saying consistency. You just need to be consistent with them.
Consistency. I mean, one mentioned how expensive the dogs can be. I am starting to realise that with all the bits and bobs you have to buy and the insurance and whatnot. Yeah, one commenter was, what did he suggest? Rubbing poo in the dog's face. I mean, that was pretty extreme training advice. He said that's what you have to do. I mean, I'm not sure I fancy that. I rubbing poo into anything. To be honest, that sounds a very messy business. So I'm quite daunted by the task ahead. I won't be rubbing any poo in anyone's noses. I won't be. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I tell you what, Jack. Yeah, I am in high spirits, but I am worried because the breeder of the dog breeder that we've used, very very well respected breeder, didn't just go to any old Tom, Dick, and Harry and say, yo, 50p for the dog. We're paying top dollar for this quality breeder, but she said, like, she actually used the words, you know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, you know, because getting a dog can ruin your life.
But she said that.
Yeah. It's great honesty. I thought, oh, that sounds like a sound investment.
Well, if that's her sales pitch and they're still selling well, I mean, these things must be incredible dogs.
Yeah, but that's the warning. If you don't do things right, They can ruin your life. So I'm a little bit worried that the little Coco, as she's now been named, anything could happen. It's just before the Masters. I feel really, really dangerous at the moment. I don't want the dog to unsettle me, Jack. So I may just bring it around your house and you can sort it out while I do the Masters. Is that all right?
Ruin my life instead. Yeah, collaborative work and all that. We shall run through the 8 selections across the 2 tournaments this week, Steve, starting with the Singapore Classic.
Tom McKibben, Sebastian Soderberg, Richard Mansell, Alejandro Delaire, and David Raveto.
Okay, there's your 5 for the Singapore Classic. 3 for the Valspar. Who are they?
Sepp Straker, Sung Jae-im, and Nick Taylor.
Okay. I must say, Steve, just before we go, I loved your latest column on Racing Post on the Members Club section. You were saying that the dream is to one day open a pub. I mean, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Yes, the effervescent pheasant. Yeah. I am looking into alternative careers. Becoming a publican is always it's just suddenly become a dream of mine, actually.
Yeah. I think they've got a great, I know it's quite a tough trade at the moment, particularly if you're just solely a wet pub, but the landlord across the road at my pub, he sort of went in the other night and he was saying he'd had quite a stressful day. And I said, oh, what's gone wrong? And his big stress of the day was selecting what new lager to put on tap. And I thought that sounds like an absolute joy of a conundrum to try and work out. I thought that's my biggest worry of the day, that's a good lie.
Yeah. And I would insist on having a free house where you can pick exactly what you want. You don't want to get tied down by, you don't want to be owned by a brewery, because then they tell you you've got to serve your Carlsbergs and filth like that. But I will have a free house and I will get in all the drinks that I like. And it'd be a great place. We'd open all hours and we'd have a lot of fun. Yeah, we're going to have pheasant racing.
Would you base it down near you, or would you sort of, go further afield?
Yeah, I'd have a plot of land in Dorsetshire. We'd have a massive beer garden for the pheasant racing. We're gonna cull pheasants that don't show enough effervescence and eat them. Yeah. So I look forward to that. But I'm going to try and stick with the punting game for as long as possible. But the column, if you haven't read it, was about the pressures that punters are facing at the moment. Mm-hmm. And punters are under pressure, aren't they, Jack? And hopefully the government sees sense and doesn't ruin the betting industry and ruin racing and send me off to be a publican.
That's a very apt place to finish, Steve. You're on holiday, aren't you, next week?
Yes, sir.
Where are you going, anywhere nice or staying in the country?
No, that's the last week without a dog. So, before the dog ruins my life, I'm going to just have a peaceful week playing a bit of golf and whatnot.
Oh, lovely. Oh, happy days. Well, enjoy that. Well, I myself and I think James Mason will be back next week to preview the Houston Open and the Indian Open. So until then, stay safe. If you're following in on any of Steve's selections, please remember to do so responsibly. And best of luck. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.